It's funny. Does your Corey spell like she does her Corey?
C-O-R-R-I-E.
Oh, you've got two R's. She just does one R.
Okay.
Yeah.
Corey.
Is your Corey short for Corrine? Or?
No, it's just Corey.
It truly is Corey.
It's a Scottish name, Corey is. Her maiden name was Spence, so she's Scottish heritage. But she gets called everything in East Texas, from Cara to Corey.
That's true.
She never, ever got my name right. Always Carrie Corey. Carrie. Nothing ever was Corey.
Nothing?
For 23 years.
We know that.
It's okay.
Prelude like that, we should be in a great mood to worship God, and so we are. Good to see your smiling faces. I know you're smiling because I can see your eyes. Welcome to each of you who are here. Welcome to all of you who are worshiping with us online, live stream, or maybe you're going to watch it later in the afternoon on video. This is the First Presbyterian Church of Lufkin, Texas. And I am Jim Ainsworth, retired Presbyterian minister from Crockett, your nearby neighbor. We're very glad that you're worshiping with us, either here in the sanctuary or by internet, and hope that you have a sense of the awesome presence of our awesome God. Our God is an awesome God, and we worship Him today in Jesus' name. Are there any announcements for the life of the church? Debbie? No? Okay. Then may the peace of Christ be with you all. And will you stand and extend that peace to each other with a wave? Peace be with you. Thank you. You may be seated. In Romans 15:13, St. Paul writes, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." These are the gifts of the service of worship this morning: joy, peace, power, hope. May they abound here today as we worship God.
Sing praise to the Lord. There I am. So would you please turn to 281 and stand and sing with me, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah."
Psalm 138. If you are at home, I invite you to get out your Bible and to turn to Psalm 138, where we will read portions of that psalm, verses 1 through 3 and 7 and 8. Here in this congregation this morning, I invite you to read with me responsively. We're all going to read the dark part, and I will read the leader part. Let us hear what the psalmist says to us. "I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Please be seated. We have offering plates in the narthex. I invite you, if you're here, to place your offering in those plates. And I have been asked to remind all of you, members of this church and friends and guests, that there is now a way to give online by going to the Facebook page of First Presbyterian Church of Lufkin and look for the tab that says Giving. You'll be able to pay your tithe to the church electronically, or, of course, you can still send your check into the church by mail, addressed to the First Presbyterian Church of Lufkin. To hope is to acknowledge the claim God has made upon our lives. We are called by the name stewards, stewards of the earth, stewards of the gifts that God has entrusted to us. So let us acknowledge God's claim upon us by honoring him with our stewardship, praising God for all his good gifts. We have gathered to pray and to praise you for the gift of your church, for the gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior, whose church it is, and to ask, O God, that your Holy Spirit may continue to dwell among us, encouraging us to use our gifts for your kingdom. In this hope we abound. And to this end, we dedicate our gifts. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this is our children's story. Good morning, children. Once upon a time, now this is not about frogs. Once upon a time, there was a little boy who liked to wander throughout the forest. One day, as he was wandering in the woods, he happened upon a beautiful house made entirely of candy. Wow. It was a beautiful house, and the little boy ate all the candy he wanted. After he was full, he went back home, and he ran immediately to his room because he didn't want his secret about the candy house to be known. But some of his friends came over, and they began to see, and they asked him, "Why are you smiling, David?" Because try as he might, he couldn't keep this great big smile off his face because of the wonderful secret he knew. Finally, after much questioning, he told his friends his secret. The secret of the house made of candy hidden in the woods. Now, you know a great secret, too. We all do. It's the secret of knowing that Jesus loves us. He loves all the boys and girls in the world. He loves all of us who are here and all of us who are worshiping today. And our secret shows in our smile. So when you smile, you are telling the world that you know a great secret, the secret that God loves you. This morning for our Old Testament lesson, we're turning to the book of Isaiah. And if you are at home worshiping with us, I invite you to turn to the 51st chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 51. I'm going to read the first 6 verses. "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut, and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, that is Abraham, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness would be found in her, thanksgiving in the sound of singing. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on its way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever, and my righteousness will never fail." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And I invite you here in the sanctuary and those who worship at home to turn now to our New Testament lesson today, which is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, beginning the reading at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "What about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Last Sunday, I mentioned in the sermon about how the pandemic has changed everything. And one of the things that has changed is the church. And I worry about the church and what its future in the rest of the 21st century is going to look like. I want to reflect out loud today with the scripture some of the issues for Christians in the church as we face the post-pandemic, we hope someday, post-pandemic life. I certainly don't have all the answers for what that's going to be, but I want to share with you some reflection as I've reflected on this text in Matthew about what the church might look like. Will there be a church at 609 Jane Way at the end of the 21st century? Will there be Presbyterians? We won't, any of us, be alive by the end of this century, I don't think. If you do, you'll set a new record. But will the church be here? Will this church be here? And if it is, what will it look like? As we reflect on some of the answers to those questions, we center our theological reflection on the Word of God. I've read to you today from Matthew where Jesus says to Peter, "You are the rock, and on this rock I will build my church." So one of the first things we have to understand about church, church in the big sense, and church in the sense of this congregation, this family, this place, is that it is the church of Jesus Christ. Now, your church has a wonderful ancient history of all its people. And in one of those rooms over there, there's a row of all its preachers who've been here. A long history, a wonderful history. But it's not your church. It's not the church of the session. It doesn't even belong to the trustees. The church is the church of Jesus Christ. And he says, even the gates of hell will not overcome it. Jesus' reference to the powers of death, the gates of hell, and to all the forces opposing Christ in his kingdom remind us that in this world, in this day and time, there are many forces working against the church. And right now we have a pandemic that has changed the face of the life of the church. Where's choir practice? Where's women's circles? Where's fellowship dinners? Where's gathering in the Northex for coffee afterwards? Where's the hugs we exchange? It's gone because we wear a mask and we have to self-distance because of the pandemic. The gates of hell are knocking on the door of the church, but Jesus says, they will not overcome my church. Whatever the future of the church is, whatever changes may radically occur, and we're experiencing those changes, aren't we? We're welcoming friends that we cannot see because they're online. We're sending our pledges by electronics or by check. But we must remember that whatever the changes to the church are, and I can't even begin to imagine what they are going to be, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and he holds its future. Does this mean that this applies to a building and a church family in Lufkin, Texas? Can we extrapolate what Jesus says in general to the specifics of this church? I don't know. I really don't know what the future of the church may be in the 21st century. I know there will be a church in Lufkin, Texas. I don't know if there will be a building at 609 Janeway. I don't know if it'll be called Presbyterian. I know there will be Christians worshiping God in Angelina County, because the church is the church of Jesus Christ. In 1875, in Houston County, where I live, there were 21 Presbyterian churches. Every little community had a Presbyterian church. Christians came to those churches and worshiped. I grew up in one of those in Kennard, Texas. And your pastor, Kirk Allen, came over and led us in worship on Sunday night after leading you in worship on Sunday. Lots of good Christian people worshiped in that little congregation, but it's gone now. The people aren't gone, but the church is. And all the little 21 churches are now gone, except for the one in Crockett. What is the church of the 21st century going to look like? I don't know. I don't know. Will it be a big mega church like Highland Park Presbyterian or whatever the one in Houston is? Will it be small house churches where we gather together as small groups? I don't know. I do know I do know that we will always have Christians who seek to come together to learn about God, to worship God, to do God's bidding in the world. The church is the church of Jesus Christ. Now, the second thing that we understand from this passage in Matthew is that there is a foundation, a rock, which the 21st century church will be built upon. There's a great deal of variety of understanding of this passage in Matthew about what Jesus means. When he says to Peter, "Your name is now Peter," which in Greek means a rock or a stone. "And on this rock, this Petros, I will build my church." Does he mean it's going to be built on Peter the man? Well, Peter wasn't very much of a rock, was he? Denied Jesus. He had his doubts. Is the church of Jesus Christ built on one man, one person? Or is it built on Christ himself, the one foundation? I think Jesus was not referring to himself or to Peter at this point. I think he understood himself to be the head and the cornerstone of the church. I think Jesus was saying the church will be built upon the rock of the meaning of faith and vision and the disciples who follow him. In Ephesians, for example, the writer notes that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And in 1 Peter, the church is described as people. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So I think the church of the 21st century will be built on foundational issues. On foundational issues. On worship, on hearing and responding to God's word, on prayer and Bible study and service to God. The church of the 20th century sometimes has become captive to fads and socio-political issues that are non-essential to the faith. We can't compete as a church, as an entertainment center. We don't need to have an orchestra up here when we have Miss June playing the organ. She's not here to entertain us. The church is not an entertainment and not in the entertainment business. We're not in the fundraising business. We're not here to make political statements that affect the world outside of us. What the church does best, and these are our foundational issues, is praise God, worship God, preach and teach the Word of God, put that smile on our face that tells people we have a secret, and nurture the people of God in the faith. I want to do a little experiment now, so give me a second to set it up. Let's see how this works. I have here an empty jar, okay? An empty jar. Now, I'm going to fill this jar up, and the first thing I'm going to put in it is rocks. I'm going to put in it rocks and fill it up. Okay, is the jar full? Pretty full. But is it completely full? Nope. Because now I'm going to put gravel. Is it full? Well, I don't know. What would you say? No?
Not full?
Because it still has room for sand. And now, is it full? You say no. You've seen this before. Just got sand all over the pulpit. Still not full. Okay. Is there room for water? There is. Okay. And now maybe it's full. The point of the illustration is that if you place the big rocks into the jar first, you have room for all the little things. In our lives, if we take care of the big issues, worship God, prayer, faith, service, then all the little things, there'll be time and place for all the little things. In the church of the 21st century, we're going to be called upon post-COVID-19 to concentrate on the basic issues, the bedrock issues that Isaiah referred to in the passage we read, and to remember that the church is the church of Jesus Christ. He owns it. He will direct it. He will determine its future. And we will be called as Christian men and women and children of faith and hope to place the bedrock issues of our faith first, and to go forward with Him. Thanks be to God for giving us the church. Amen. Having heard the word of God read and preached, let us respond by standing and affirming our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us come now to God in prayer. We remember today Linda Huber's family. Linda lost her mother this week. Are there other concerns from the congregation to share? And anybody have a birthday this week? Yay! We won't ask you how old you are. We'll just say thank you for your birthday. Anybody have an anniversary? A new grandbaby? An anniversary? Yay! A new grandbaby, a great grandbaby. Anybody start to school this week? Teachers and students. Okay. Let's lift up all of those as well as our other concerns as we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are the creator of the universe. And out of whatever matter has come this virus, we don't know. But we know that you have the power to destroy it. Hear us as we pray, destroy this virus. And our Lord, while we wait for its end, because we believe that you will, pour out your strength, your healing, your confidence, your patience upon all those who are suffering from the virus, upon every doctor, nurse, lab technician, respiratory therapist, EMT, who is working to care for those who are so sick. Pour out your creative spirit upon those who are working to find a vaccine or a curative for the virus. Show them a new twist they haven't thought of so that they may play their part in bringing this virus to an end. Lord, we confess we are weary. We are weary of hearing the daily statistics of those who have been infected, those who have died. We're weary of staying at home. We're weary of wearing a mask. We're weary of political rhetoric. So this morning we pray, give us some quiet time to think, to reflect, to seek wisdom and discernment from you. And having received that discernment, give us faith to put it into practice in our lives. We pray for all whom we pray for daily, the sick, our neighbors, our family, our church family, especially today for Linda Huber and her family who grieve the death of her mother. We pray for the session of this church and for the interim search committee. And hear us, O Lord, as we pray, even as Jesus taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, my friends, go into the world and have peace and joy. The Lord is with you. Amen.